Welcome to 1859, a podcast by
Michael Hurst
and Rick Moody. This is episode 9. 1859.
So welcome to episode 9. The topic for this one is babies. And we've also decided we're going to try something a little different with this one. We're going to incorporate the use of a live audience. Welcome back, Rick. It's been a while. And why has it been a while?
Well, Mike, I've become a father.
Hey, congratulations.
You say it as though you didn't already know.
Hey, congratulations. Yes, welcome to proper Park Slope living.
Yeah, that's right. All I need to do now is get out on 7th Avenue and try to mow down a few non-breeding types with my perambulator.
So you only had one. You didn't have twins, which is quite the trend these days.
But I could get one of those twin side-by-side perambulators and just put like some groceries in the
right-hand side. Yeah, you should. You should get one for triplets.
Yeah, triplets.
Yeah. I'm not sure they even make that, but they should.
They should, yeah.
I would like to get one as well, just for like my musical instruments and that sort of thing, just to fit in.
Do you think that Octomom has like a...
An eight-seater? She should. She should have one specially made for her.
She could get like a luge and just put some wheels on it.
And then just push it and let it go. 1859.
So, I thought I'd tell you a little story about the months since we last convened in this context, having to do with the childbirth class that we took.
Oh, do tell. And this is the class that prepares you for home birth.
Exactly. It prepares you for home birth. So it was self-selecting for, you know, people living at the advanced guard of home life in Park Slope. So we go over to this joint that's on 6th Avenue, somewhere around Garfield, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the class is being hosted by a woman whose last name was Fuxman. Uh-oh. She actually wrote it on a whiteboard or something in class. Fuxman.
Wow.
Fuxman.
She kind of had no choice but to be a birthing class instructor.
Well, she had been, prior to that time, a high school teacher.
A high school teacher,
and I'm sure... What the hell is that?
That's my cat purring. I'll get to that in a minute.
So anyway, you know, the titters on the first day of class were significant.
You said titters.
Anyway, so we get in there, you know, and I'm just so uncomfortable. You know, there's all these kind of squeaky clean would-be Park Slope parents, and they're all looking very serious. And
did you know any of them?
Didn't know any of them. And I just knew that eventually somebody was going to talk about eating the placenta. Ah. You know, I didn't know when it was going to happen, but I knew it was going to happen eventually.
I mean, that's a pretty common topic, even without a birthing class. I pretty much once a day have a conversation about eating placentas.
In fact, we were given a variety of recipes for placenta eating in the class, you know, because some people like to have it in a shake. And then other people, they dry it out and they put it in little capsules and eat it a little bit at a time.
See, I'd probably just do like a filet. I would put a little bit of like, you know, chili powder on there, some salt and pepper.
Well, somebody was suggesting lasagna, which, because it kind of looks like lasagna, because I actually
Where
saw
Where are you getting lasagna?
Because it sort of has like kind of like a membrane-y thing like a lasagna. 1859. You know, I knew we were going to get to placenta eventually, you know, but it's the first day of class. She's got to go around in a circle and have everyone introduce themselves and talk about their feelings about childbirth. So, as is normally the case when I get really uncomfortable, I knew I was going to say something awful. Like, I can't stop myself.
It's like Tourette's.
Exactly.
Bitch! Sorry.
So, it goes all the way around the room, and I'm at the end, and I'm kind of hoping she's going to forget I'm there. And indeed, she goes off onto the next subject, but somebody says, "What about him? He didn't say anything." So, she comes back to me, and she says, so what are your feelings about childbirth? And I said, my idea of childbirth is that it's like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
1859. I don't really have a story because I don't have a baby. I mean, I have a cat.
Do you have any good cat stories, Mike?
I mean, I'm still happy to talk about babies. Of course, I have cat stories, but that's just, like, no one wants to hear a cat story, I don't think.
No, I want to hear a cat story.
No, let's go back to the baby thing, because I was, you know, thinking about it. I mean, both of us live, or at least you're half the time, kind of on the edge of Park Slope, and I'm sort of right in the middle of it. And for those who don't know, Park Slope is a neighborhood that is probably more populated by babies than just about any other neighborhood.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, I actually had a thought, and I was trying to figure out how, even though I don't have a child, how I could monopolize on this living in the neighborhood. And I came up with an idea, which I'll never actually do, but I'd be thrilled if someone did this. And, you know, and
maybe we can have a contest. Let's just put it out on the 1859 website.
Okay. Well, okay. Then there's two of these. There's two options. But the first one is valet stroller parking. I thought, what an amazing job. And I was thinking, like, you go in front of the tea lounge or the YMCA, whatever, and there's, like, sometimes 30 strollers. And I thought, you could just stand there and be a valet stroller parker who watches the strollers. I give that job to anybody listening.
Tea lounge, perfect spot for it. So all you listeners out there, if you're in the New York area, what we want you to do is go down to Tea Lounge and start offering to be a stroller valet.
And there's wealthy parents here. I mean, I'm sure they will tip you a good $5 bill once in a while for watching their stroller. 1859. The other thing that I would love to do and will never do, Park Slope has a Halloween parade once a year, which is kind of a great parade. It's not as big as the one in the West Village, but it's a parade that is the neighborhood. The neighborhood actually is the parade. Everyone walks, and there's a few bigger things that are there every year, like the Headless Horseman, a guy actually on a horse with no head, and there's the rollerbladers that are like ghouls.
I love those ghoul rollerbladers.
Yeah, but you know, I thought there should be a new mascot for the Park Slope parade that leads the whole neighborhood, and I thought, why not have like a huge giant size baby stroller that would just barely fit under the stoplights, you know, like this enormous baby stroller that takes up the entire street. And in fact, then I thought you could even have like an animatronic baby in there that has a large latte in one hand that swings out over the audience. And, you know, I think someone should do this.
Okay, so we're throwing that out to the audience too. We want one of you to make the gigantic stroller for the Park Slope Halloween Parade. 1859. And our first guest today is Jack Skippy McFadden, co-owner of Union Hall and scourge of the Park Slope stroller.
So for those of you who don't know, Union Hall is a bar, music venue, place to hang out, couches, good times. I've actually had the privilege of playing there a couple of times myself, and something went down. Was it last year, 2 years ago, that this whole situation took place?
Yeah, you're referring to the infamous baby stroller incident.
The infamous baby stroller incident.
I think that was 2 summers ago. It was something that was seemed to be more stirred up by the actual reality that a handful of the neighbors were inconvenienced by the bar just being there in general. And what happened was, I don't think any of us had the intention to call a stroller ban in, but we were under a lot of we were under a much finer microscope over the course of 6 or 7 months, because the neighbors really were intending on shutting us down pretty much 100% because of the noise. And what was happening, though, is we would have so many people coming in. We were being raided constantly by health departments and fire departments and police departments. They were actually ticketing us for having anything blocking any of the doors. Obviously, you know, if there's a fire, you want to be able to get out. And just so happened, baby strollers started coming in there and spending a lot of time. And I think I don't know what the social ramifications are of you know, there were mothers in there and then there were strollers. So I think one of the GMs, had come up with an idea to maybe put a sign in the window. It wasn't like a big press release. It was something like, you know, maybe don't bring your stroller near, no strollers, or something like that, which I think probably we thought would go under the radar a little bit more. People would just see the sign and park their stroller outside, but I think, you know, Park Slope.
So you have no ill feelings towards strollers yourself?
I no, absolutely. I mean, well, you know, I think that within reason, I think they're just a regular inconvenience to you. Just be, it's a consideration thing. I mean, if it's a sack of potatoes blocking the fire exit, or a stroller, or just two people having a conversation, I mean, I think it's just that.
Do you have one yourself?
We do have a stroller, yes.
What model?
It is a Bugaboo. I believe it is a frog. It is orange, and ironically, we pitched in 5 years ago to buy it for some friends, and we actually bought it used back.
And do you bring your stroller to Union Hall?
Well, I'm about to. I think that my daughter, who's 8 weeks old, I actually promised all the local establishments that I would come in and block their entrances as I could, just sort of as payback.
So, rewinding back to the whole incident that took place, you put up this little sign in the window, or someone put up a sign in the window of Union Hall saying, please do not bring your strollers in. What happened? Was there one mother that complained? Did it just spread? Was it like the Park Slope, the Park Slope Mothers Club?
What happened was, I think it became so not about us. I think it became this cultural war of mothers who thought that bringing their kids to bars was blasphemous, and then the mothers who did it I think it created a war within Park Slope of how, you know, what's the proper etiquette, you know, from 4 p.m. Because I know that I'm acutely aware of having a crying baby. I've been trying to actually take it easy on my friends who own the local businesses, and, you know, I'm not going to go out and eat at Aldi Lot at 9:30 at night with my kids strapped to me, unless, you know. But not even. I get a babysitter, you know?
And did it have any effect on the business that you noticed one way or another?
No, absolutely not. It's a bar, so, I mean, for the most part, our clientele are our clientele, so.
But now I'm confused. When you had the problem with all the strollers at Union Hall, was it during the night, during drinking hours, or was it during the day?
Well, I think that, you know, we open at 4 o'clock, and we had a no, it was almost like a non-policy. I don't think you ever want to enforce a policy in a bar. I mean, you don't ever want to tell people to change their behavior unless it's affecting the health of the customers around them. And I think that essentially that's sort of what happened. We were trying to keep it under the radar, but mothers started staying later. You know, you'd see these mothers in their Sonic Youth t-shirts, and they were in like 8:30 and the stroller's still in there, and that's when those undercover cops come in looking for, like, underage drinkers, and the fire department comes in. So, you know, I thought common sense would prevail, but who knows?
Were any mothers arrested for providing beverages to their underage children?
Yeah, I don't think so, no.
And has it blown over with the neighbors and all that stuff?
The neighbors kind of calmed down, and we went to a meeting, and had the community board pretty much say that we were a model citizen of a bar, and so that the two or three neighbors, you know, we give them our cell phone numbers, we have the security guys help them walk them home, so it's not, we know that we're good neighbors, and you know, the whole thing died out. We haven't heard a peep out of anyone in probably a year.
So Skippy, I've been contemplating the idea of starting a valet stroller parking business. Would you be interested in having valet stroller parking in front of the Bell House? Or
yeah, sure, that'd be awesome.
1859.
And now Alan Rapp reads the folk wisdom of the ages.
Rupture in a child or the shingles may be cured by passing the little patient 3 times under the belly of an ass with the sun. If a child has the thrush, and someone who has never seen his own father blows in its face or down its throat, the child will be cured.
Thrush.
Huh. Hmm. How about that? You should apply these, Rick. And
you know, thrush actually came up during our recent childbirth. Yeah. Oh. In my household, because Amy had to take really strong antibiotics during labor. And if you take too much antibiotics, you automatically cause thrush.
A few years ago, a young man in Holyoke, Massachusetts, a common sense person, it says parenthetically, had a child ill with dumb ague. By advice, he got a pup and put it in the child's cradle. The dog broke out in sores and the child got well. Give a child rat soup to prevent his wetting the bed. As we know, a cat should never be left alone with a sleeping child, as the cat may, quote, suck the child's breath and thus kill it.
Well, here we are with Alyssa Lamb and Lucy Lamb, her 10-month-old baby, who now has a fresh diaper and is smiling at me. Lucy, do you have anything to say?
There it is.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, actually, she has sort of a chant that she's been doing the past 5 months, maybe, that when she's, like, playing by herself. She sort of stopped doing it recently, but she would go, for maybe, like, 45 minutes at a time. And I thought either she was imitating me singing or she's autistic or she has some kind of condition. But she would do it when she was playing, like, concentrating really hard. And I checked on the piano that it's usually an E flat or an E.
Oh, that's impressive.
So she almost always did the same note. But then when she got agitated, it would go up to like a G.
Do you have any stories about you being a mom and pushing your stroller around and baby? I should say not pushing a stroller around, pushing your baby around in a stroller.
No, but that's the thing. People see the stroller. I realize you get treated a lot better when you carry your baby than when you have it in the stroller. I mean, I can't really complain about it. Yeah, but people pushing their strollers around because that's what I have to do. But I do find that when I enter a coffee shop in a stroller, I don't always get the warmest reception. Even though I have a small stroller.
Do you have a coffee shop of choice?
Because then I never know when she's going to do that.
Right.
I try to go to all the different ones so that they don't catch me. No, I just make coffee at home now because it's too. She's a little mercurial. What's the matter? What's the matter? I can't do this.
Really?
I can't.
Do we need to just cut?
Maybe. I think we might need to just cut. I had some good stories, I swear. 1859.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up episode 9 of the 1859 podcast about babies. Thank you so much to Jack Skippy McFadden, Alan Rapp, Alyssa Lamb, T-Pain's Baby, Raymond Scott, and the live studio audience. Goodbye.
Meconium, 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 meconium.